Welcome to the Match Fit Conditioning Podcast. Transforming over 100,000 footballers worldwide. Everything we do is aimed at enabling you to gain an edge completely by yourself without needing help from a training partner or teammate. Open yourself to doing things smarter and with more intention, focus and attention to detail than your teammates, opponents, and even your coaches. Are you ready to get match fit?
And so if you guys want to start posting your questions down below, whilst you do that, just a little introduction to me. So I'm Sean, the nutritionist here at Match Fit Conditioning. And I'm the one, you might recognize my voice because I've been posting on the Match Fit Online Academy, where we put out a lot of information. And I've been doing a lot of the nutrition questions on that part of the Academy page. And so if you have any follow-on questions from what you've heard on the Academy, or if you have any questions about supplementation, health, what you should eat pre-game, post-game, just let me know below and I'll help you guys out. So Fletch Davis asks, what do players eat and drink to not get sick? So it's a great question. What has actually been noted in the research recently is that nutrition is the most responsible factor essentially for people getting sick or not. And it's more of a factor of what you don't eat than rather what you do eat. So what you want to avoid is an overconsumption of things such as processed or artificial additives, processed sugar, and omega-6 fatty acids are one which will do damage to your gut and your gut lining and cause a lot of inflammation, and therefore you can get sick from that. And also you want to be making sure you get a good intake of vitamin A and vitamin C as well, which will be predominantly coming from your fruits, and sweet potato is a really good source of vitamin A as well. So there's some foods to focus on if you want to avoid getting sick. What do you think of intermittent fasting from footballers? There's a video about this on the Match Fit Academy. It's something that I would never recommend for a footballer to do, just purely because it doesn't allow for meal timing and it doesn't allow people to stick to the recommendations, sport nutrition recommendations for footballers. So ideally, as an athlete, you want to be getting on a protein feeding every 3 to 4 hours, roughly around 20 to 40 grams of protein. And so obviously if you're doing intermittent fasting and you have only a certain period of the day where you can eat, then that's not going to allow for this as well. So you guys post in some fitness questions. This is a nutrition question and answer session only, so if you can post your nutrition questions below and then I'll get to them. A lot of people joining in, which is great. Hopefully you guys on Facebook and Instagram can hear me. There's a question coming in, and that is, are high cholesterol levels in eggs a health concern? And so with this one, the train of thought on this one has changed recently, I'd say in the last 3 to 4 years. So originally dietary cholesterol was looked upon as a bad thing, because essentially the train of thought was that the more cholesterol you eat, the more cholesterol would be stored within the blood. And cholesterol, especially LDL cholesterol, is the number one factor that causes heart disease and a fatty acid buildup in your arterial walls. However, more recent evidence shows that the body has a good circulatory system, and it shows that the more cholesterol we eat, the more cholesterol we are able to excrete, and so we can stabilize our cholesterol levels a lot better than what we once thought. And also just in general, I mean, the amount of cholesterol within your blood, so a lot of people go to get their cholesterol checked at the doctors and then they get tested for their risk of heart problems. This is slightly overstated. If you have high cholesterol levels, that doesn't automatically mean that you are somehow prone to a lot of diseases. What it means is that you need to control the level of inflammation within your body, and inflammation is more going to be associated with the amount of disease or your risk for disease. And most modern diseases are a consequence of an inflammatory status within the body. So if you can sort out the inflammation, which is mainly caused from sugar and omega-6 fatty acids, such as those found in vegetable oils, then you'll go a long way into treating this. So I wouldn't focus too much on cholesterol. So a question on Instagram is, what's the best food to eat before games to prevent injuries that has very low calories? A question like that, you've probably gone against yourself a bit, because when you're going into a game, the idea is to increase your caloric intake, your energy intake, and therefore obviously have enough energy stores going into the game to last the game. And so if you're focusing on consuming low calorie foods going into a game, that's probably the wrong way to go about it, because you're probably going to fatigue early, because your energy stores, especially your carbohydrate stores within the muscle, aren't going to be optimal. Mac asks how to gain lean muscle. So the fastest way to go about gaining lean muscle tissue is to be in a caloric surplus, which is eating slightly more calories than you're expending per day. So if you track your body weight and you realize that you need 3,000 calories per day to maintain your body weight, then you want to be consuming slightly above this. I'd say anywhere from 3,100 to 3,200, so only a 1 to 200 calorie excess, and this will avoid fat gain whilst you're gaining your lean mass. And you obviously want to ensure that you have a good protein intake along with that. So I'd recommend 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. So if you weigh 70 kilograms, you're looking at just over like 100 grams of protein per day. So what is the average calorie intake of a Premier League footballer? This depends a lot on the footballer that you're talking about. So you can get footballers that are on as low as 3,000 calories, and you can get footballers that are as high as 6,000 calories. So some will literally be eating double as much as others. If you look at the amount of calories that people burn per day, a lot of it is down to their non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is basically the amount that they burn per day outside of exercise. So your total energy expenditure is down to your resting metabolic rate, so the amount that you burn just at rest and the amount that you need for internal functioning. Then it's the amount you're burning during your activities, such as your matches, your football training, your gym sessions. And then it's also just your general activity. So me standing here talking is expending energy. Me fidgeting is expending energy. And also you require some energy. Say you consume a protein source, you require some energy in order to break down and absorb that protein. So that is responsible for the total energy expenditure, and that can fluctuate a lot footballer to footballer. And so there's not really a standard answer for that. It depends on their body weight and activity levels. Can you gain weight without tracking calories? Yeah, of course you can. You're just going to make it slightly more tough on yourself. Tracking calories is just a way in which you can be more accurate with the amount that you're taking in, and therefore you can get a better track of your body weight and how your body weight is fluctuating dependent on the amount of energy and calories that you're intaking. If someone isn't going to track their calories, which you don't have to, I just recommend sticking to roughly the same sort of foods and portion sizes throughout the day. So therefore you can kind of still track, but just in a different way of how much food you're taking on board. And so if you notice that you're consuming X, Y, and Z foods throughout the day in certain portion sizes, and you're not putting on weight, then you obviously can then increase those portion sizes accordingly. You don't necessarily need to know how many carbohydrates or protein are within that food, but you can increase the amount of portion sizes. Peanut butter is good. Peanut butter can be a great food if you're looking to put on weight. In terms of the health effects of it, there's probably better options out there. Peanuts are generally very high in omega-6 fatty acids, which can cause issues and cause a gut response, an immune response, increase the amount of inflammation in the body. Cashew butter, slightly better. Generally with nuts though, I'd stick to walnuts if anything. So peanut butter is good. It's not like I tell everyone to avoid it. And it's great if people are looking to put on weight. However, if you can switch to more of a walnut-based nut, then that's probably better. So Nikhil on the Facebook group has asked a question. Nikhil, this Q&A session is about nutrition. So any nutrition questions that you have, I'm more than willing to answer them. What are things you should avoid the day before a match? Things high in fat, you generally want to swap things that are high in carbohydrates. So focus more on your pastas, your oats, your rice, things along those lines, and you're going to get a much better response into increasing energy stores as opposed to your fat intake. So that's what I'd focus on before a match. So you'd avoid things such as nuts or red meats and switch them over to more carbohydrate sources or lean sources of protein. Sorry guys, a lot of questions coming in, so I'm just going to scroll through. So a few questions coming in that are fitness related. So again, this is a nutrition question and answer series. Benjamin asks, how much meat consumption per week? So I've done a video on this last week, I think, that's on the MatchFit Online Academy. Basically, with meat consumption, it's obviously up in the air about how it affects health and how healthy it is or how harmful it is. I generally stick to white meats at the minute for most of the people that I work with, although red meat, there's definitely no reason to completely eliminate it from the diet. There's just certain components of meat, such as things called meat mutagens, which might have an inflammatory response and are linked to cancer, but only within animal studies. So within human research, there's no really known reason to eliminate meat from the diet. You can still eat meat day to day. The more you can stick to white meats, probably the more guaranteed you are to just avoid certain health effects. But red meat is fine in order to increase things such as your iron and your zinc intake. I generally advise people on training days to eat a red meat meal, and then on non-training days to eat a lean or white meat meal, just because their energy intake is going to be lower on those days anyway. Question coming in, do BCAAs help footballers? I've done a video on this, so I would never advise BCAAs to be taken by any athlete. Just the fundamental point of BCAAs doesn't really make too much sense. And so BCAAs only contain three amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. However, to increase protein synthesis, you need to have all the essential amino acids within the system, and this only contains three of them. And the latest research on BCAAs shows that when you consume those three essential amino acids and you don't have availability of the other amino acids, it can actually strip some essential amino acids from your muscle tissue and potentially even have a negative effect on net muscle metabolism. So you might actually be breaking down more muscle tissue than you are gaining from it. So I just stick to whole protein sources, whether that's meat, protein shakes, lentils, chickpeas, things along those lines. Any specific diet or things that would help you keep away from injuries? So there is a video that I've just done, so that'll probably be uploaded on the MatchFit Academy within the next couple of days. Some nutrients to focus on are things like zinc, vitamin A as well. Vitamin C is quite important for collagen generation, which is the tissue in between your bones and in your joints. And if you're looking at a supplementation that could potentially help you, then look towards glucosamine. Glucosamine is quite good. It has some good research behind it. Most of it is in animals, but there's some good human research as well. And I'd look towards 1.5 grams of glucosamine per day in order to potentially stay away from joint problems and help with joint deterioration. What supplements can we take to maximize our recovery from Callan? So protein shake is probably going to be just your most obvious one. It's just a convenient source of protein post-workout or post-match or wherever you're taking it. Look towards around 40 grams of protein during the one, at least the 2 hour period post-exercise. The earlier you can take it, the better you're going to be. Creatine as well can potentially help with increasing the anabolic response. So that is a supplement to look at. So if you're going to take creatine, I'd load it up with 20 grams for a 5 day period, distributed into 4 5 gram doses throughout the day, and then look to maintain creatine stores for 3 to 5 grams after this period. So JHD is asked, do you recommend footballers use creatine? So yeah, sort of like what I just said, I do recommend creatine to be used pretty much by all athletes I work with, especially if they're in a high intensity sport or that involves high intensity periods such as football, which is more of an on-off sport. Basically what creatine is going to do is we have creatine stores within our muscle cells, but taking on external creatine through creatine supplementation is going to mean that we can store more creatine within our muscle cells. And creatine is basically responsible for fueling our high intensity or maximal intensity activity. So whether you're on a bench press going for like a 3 rep max or a set of 10 or something along those lines, something that's generally under like 20 seconds in duration, creatine is going to predominantly be the fuel that is fueling those exercises. And so if you supplement with creatine and you have more creatine available, you can potentially increase the amount of time that you're using your energy stores within those high intensity exercises for around 2 to 3 extra seconds. So it could give you maybe like a 10 to 30% additional benefit just by increasing those calorie store, those creatine stores. Daniel asks, when is best to have sugar? So most of my recommendations on sugar are to avoid it when possible for the general person. However, with athletes, obviously, they have more of a reason and more of a requirement to consume sugar. So I would generally recommend it more at the post-exercise meal. So when you're looking to get on a fast-digesting source of protein within that, say, hour period post-match or post-training, then you can also look to consume a fast-acting source of carbohydrates, such as sugar, because it's going to be absorbed quicker into the muscle cell and aid your carbohydrate restoration and glycogen restoration within your muscle cells, which you've basically used during your training or during your match for that period beforehand. What calories and macros would you recommend for a 20-something male, 185 pounds? So yeah, again, there's not really a way for me to say without a lot more information on the calories and nutrient requirements of you specifically, just by stating your body composition. A lot of it is down to your activity levels, your exercise levels, and there's a genetic component to it as well. So it's really hard to get a grasp on that one. Is milk good as a post-workout drink? It is good. There are better options. If you're going to look towards like a dairy-based protein post-workout, I'd stick towards whey protein. It digests faster and it has a higher bioavailability. Milk protein is predominantly casein protein and only a small amount that is whey. And so it's going to digest slightly slower and not have as big of an effect on increasing muscle protein synthesis. So it's a good post-exercise drink, just not the best post-exercise drink. So, what can we drink to prevent muscle cramps? So cramps is mainly a fitness issue in terms of exercising for prolonged periods at too higher intensity, but it's certainly a proportion of it that is partly nutrition based, and that's going to be taking on not enough water and also not enough sodium and electrolytes. So if you're looking to stop cramps, then you want to make sure you're consuming enough water for exercise. General recommendation is 1 liter of water per hour. And then you also want to be making sure you're getting on some sodium with this as well, and topping up your sodium stores, because when you're sweating, you release sodium stores and electrolytes, and therefore those stores are going to need to be replaced during exercise. So some type of electrolyte gel, they're quite good. Most sports drinks as well, they contain some sodium and electrolytes within them as well. So if you're not consuming some type of sport drink or sport gel for exercise, probably look towards one of those. Daniel Stoke asks, how much nuts or unsaturated fat should you have? Again, it depends on the person's caloric requirements and caloric intake, and it really depends on the nut that you're consuming. So if you're talking about something like a walnut's got a really high amount of omega-3s, which are anti-inflammatory, in compared to omega-6s, which are pro-inflammatory. Whereas if you look at something like a peanut's got a really high amount of omega-6 compared to omega-3. So the amount of nuts that you should be eating depend on the nut that you're talking about. There's no specific amount that you should be eating or not. Just make sure it's fitting within your nutrient requirements and your nutrient goals for the day. Nikhil on the MatchFit conditioning page on Facebook asks, I've been having the shake for a while now after my intense workouts, 1.5 glasses of milk, 2 to 3 spoons of cocoa powder, 1 banana and a spoon of peanut butter. Since I don't want to be taking protein powders for now, I have this instead. Oh, so it's not a question, it's a statement. Yeah, that sounds great to me, to be honest. There's a good amount of protein in there. There's a good amount of carbohydrates in there. I'm assuming you're just taking the cocoa powder just to make it taste slightly better, make it into more like a chocolate-based shake. The banana, so yeah, that's a good post-workout shake, and that's something I'd stick to. Is there anything I could improve on this shake? Probably look more towards more carbohydrate sources and less fat sources, especially from that post-workout meal. So maybe looking to go towards maybe like 2 bananas in there, 3 bananas. You can even look towards incorporating something called maltodextrin, which is a fast digesting powder, which you can buy online and it's super cheap. So that's something that you could look towards incorporating within that shake. Maguzo, tips to build lean muscle and not lose athleticism. That's basically just going to be the amount of weight that you're putting on. If you're putting on weight too fast, then you're going to lose athleticism just because you have a lot of excess weight that you're carrying around. So that's basically going to be maintaining or only eating slightly above your maintenance level of calories and not overdoing it. So don't just eat anything in sight. Make sure that you're only eating slightly more than you normally do. Track your weight. If you're not putting on weight, then just increase the portion sizes slightly, just by like 10% or something like that, and then that will probably do it. If you're tracking on MyFitnessPal, then you could be slightly more accurate with this. You want to be in 100 to 200 calorie caloric surplus to put on weight without losing athleticism. Suki says, can you see my post? I can. Suki, if you want to just post it again, because there's a lot of questions that are coming in, and I'll answer it. I've only got a couple more that I can answer. I started a bit late, so I'll finish a bit late as well. Suki, if you want to post it again, your question, and I'll get to that straight away. Do you create custom nutrition exercise plans? I do. That's something that potentially might be coming out on the MatchFit conditioning page in the near future, but nothing set in stone yet, so we'll have to see how that goes. What are your thoughts about drinking coffee? Coffee can be incorporated pre-exercise for that caffeine boost, however, most people that I work with seem to get increased fluid excretion from it. So basically they will become slightly dehydrated and it potentially cause some stomach issues because of the amount of gastric acid that's secreted when you drink coffee. It's really down to you and how you know that you react to it. If you don't have a problem with drinking a lot of coffee, then continue drinking a lot of coffee and you can use it pre-exercise in order to get your caffeine intake for the day. However, if you notice that it's causing some stomach issues and some gut issues and it's causing you to want to go to the toilet during a game, then it's something that you're going to want to avoid and then probably stick to more of a caffeine-based pill or a caffeine-based gel or a sports drink or something along those lines. Suki asks, what should youth players consume for peak performance before, during, and after training and games, please? So Suki, on the MatchFit Conditioning Academy, we've got a lot of videos on pre-training, during training, and after training. Just in general, you're going to want to focus on carbohydrate-based foods. So before the game, if it's a morning game, you can focus on something like oats. If it's an evening game, you can focus more on a pasta or rice-based meal. If you weigh yourself, then you know how many carbohydrates you need to consume in. So say a 70-kilogram athlete is going to want to consume roughly around 1 to 1.5 grams of carbohydrates 3 hours prior to training. And so then he can work out how much rice or pasta or oats that he needs. During the game, you can sip on a sports drink such as Lucozade Sport and at halftime have a carbohydrate-based gel, maybe one that includes electrolytes. And make sure the supplement you're taking is Informed Sport certified if you're working with a younger person. And then after the game, look to get on a good source of protein within an hour post-exercise. You can include a protein shake or maybe a meat-based meal and try and consume that meal as early as you can. Generally within the couple of hours post-exercise is great. And then also look to restore your carbohydrate stores post-exercise with a sufficient amount of carbohydrates. So looking towards things like fruit, maltodextrin, or you can even just have another meal, whether that's oats, pasta, or something along those lines. So I'll answer one or two more questions. So Maguzo asks, what is the MatchFit Academy? So if you go on matchfitconditioning.com, you can sign up to the MatchFit Academy that way. Is Toko asks, why is having saturated fat bad when you're highly active? Saturated fat's not necessarily bad. What saturated fat will do is it will increase your cholesterol levels within the body. And this can be linked to higher rates of heart disease or cardiovascular disease if there is an inflammatory response there from a high sugar intake or high omega-6 intake. So consuming a lot of saturated fat isn't necessarily bad unless you're consuming a lot of processed foods alongside this, such as vegetable oils and processed sugar and added sugar, stuff that's found in like juices and cakes and sweets along those lines. And so I wouldn't concern yourself too much with saturated fat. There's potentials for it to be harmful if you're consuming a lot of processed food on the side of it. But just generally, if you want to stay away from processed food, then it's not going to be at the end of the world. So last question, Sajeev, what are your thoughts about keto diet for football players? Just in general, I would advise against it just because any athlete in a high intensity sport is going to be focused predominantly on eating a high carbohydrate based diet. So a keto diet, one that is basically purely fat, there's a small amount of protein in there. Most people think they're doing a ketogenic diet, but actually consuming too much protein. But a full ketogenic diet is just simply not going to provide the amount of carbohydrates that you need in order to fuel properly for a game or training even. You can consume a low carbohydrate diet on exercise days or training days where it's generally just not that active. And so you're not going to have a really increased demand for carbohydrates. But a ketogenic diet day to day and one that's low in carbohydrates day to day, especially on match day, is one that you want to avoid. So maybe only do it periodically for days such as rest days or low intensity training days. Right, guys. So that's all the questions that I'll answer today. If any of you are interested in signing up to the MatchFit or to buy the MatchFit program, there is a discount code at the minute. If you go to www.matchfitconditioning.com, you can type in a discount code that's available for around 2 hours before it runs out, and that is live15, I think lowercase live, and then 15 as well. So thanks for your questions. I'm glad I got a ton of questions in. I'm not sure how many I went for in the end. But I'll surely do one of these again, and if I haven't answered your question, I apologize, and I'll hopefully get to it next time. So thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to the MatchFit Conditioning Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one of your teammates. To learn more about the MatchFit method and to start your training with us, visit www.matchfitconditioning.com. We'll show you how to gain an edge on the pitch at an elite level by transforming your fitness level, nutrition, and mindset.